for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Toyota Sound, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good afternoon, well, good evening, and welcome to everyone here to another broadcast on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Again, thanks for tuning in. If you are always listener, or thanks for tuning in if you are listening via recording later on. So we thank everybody for just tuning into our show, and we'll talk much about local sports as we can, as far as especially with high school. We do have a few middle school things to talk about tonight, but that going forward, we will get right with it, since we sometimes get a little winded throughout the show.
Or I do. Yeah, unfortunately we do.
I'll take the blame.
We both do. We get a little bit long-winded. Not necessarily off-topic or anything, as much as we
carried
just...
away.
We could just well, there you go. Yeah. Well, let's start with girls, since we actually had them last night. So we'll kind of recap the Lady Pirates going back to, where were we? Let's see, January the 30th, the Lady Pirates played at Lee County. We had that game for you. The Lady Pirates came away with a victory 41-34. In that game, so a nice district win for the Lady Pirates that basically secured the number 3 seed for the Lady Pirates in that particular one, as Owsley County will be the 1, S will be the 2, Powell County the 3, and then Lee County the 4. So that secured that spot for the Lady Pirates, so a nice showing on the road for them. And then the Lady Pirates played on February the 3rd at Owsley County for the Bobby Bowling Classic. A great job for Owsley County to put on that tournament. It was an all-day games starting at 11 a.m.
Actually, Friday.
You're exactly right. Yeah, it started on Friday. We had the Saturday games. The early match had Bell County against Jackson City. Bell County won that one. Then the Lady Pirates played next. They faced off against Hazard. You and I had talked as far as kind of being a coin flip. Both very similar as far as records, similar as far as shooting percentages. It was just a matter of kind of who was going to be able to execute down the stretch, because of kind of one of those back-and-forth games. The Lady Pirates dug themselves in a little bit of a hole, had a chance to actually take the lead, to tie it and or take the lead.
That was a big hole, by the way.
Well, that's true, too. And then, unfortunately, the Lady Pirates came up short. They ended up losing that one 58-54. Again, they had their opportunities, missed shots, and then Hazard hit a free throw or two down the stretch to kind of get that four-point win. But, again, the Lady Pirates had their opportunities, but we've seen at various times throughout the season the Lady Pirates get down early in the first quarter, and then they have to dig themselves out, and they do that at times. Unfortunately, sometimes they can't get over that hump and come away with the win. Other times they are unable to get that win, but unfortunately with that one, they ended up losing again by 4 points. Could have gone either way. And then last night they ended up playing West Carter, a home game. They ended up winning that one 41-34. That's actually 2 games out of 3 where the score was 41-34, and the Lady Pirates ended up winning both of those. So last night, again, they defeated West Carter. That was kind of one of those games against West Carter last night where not a lot of scoring. It was 6-6 at the end of the first quarter, so both teams really struggled offensively. Then in the second quarter, the Lady Pirates applied pressure defense, went into the half with a 10-point lead, 22-12, and then in the third quarter, maintained that full court press, and neither team was really able to score in that quarter. 8-6, the Lady Pirates outscored West Carter, the Lady Comets. And then in the fourth quarter, Lady Pirates were up 14, maybe, I believe, at one point.
Well, they won by 7, and they were up.
Yeah, they were up 14, and then they'd cut it in half. West Carter had, they actually outscored Lady Pirates 16-14 mm-hmm. in that quarter, and they were making a good little run where the Lady Comets of West Carter, and then the Lady Pirates were able to hold on to get the win. It was senior night, so it was nice to pick up the victory on senior night. A couple of different players got the start as well, and that being the seniors, Amelia Cook was able to start along with Elizabeth Reif and Makaira Cottle. So the three seniors actually took to the floor to start the game. And it was just a slow going on both sides. Missed opportunities, missed layups, missed shots, turnovers. Kind of a sloppy game in many respects, but really that second quarter for the Lady Pirates when Coach Rob Marion took the time out, they came into that full court press, and Wes Carter really had a difficult time handling that one. That's really where the Lady Pirates were able to take that lead, and at that point they really just maintained it.
Yeah, and I want to kind of go back and kind of touch on a couple other, if you look at the Lee County, let's just go back and look at Lee County throughout the season. Lee County, the first time that Powell County met up with Lee, that was the blowout game, right? That was a 78-18. That was on December 27th. Next time we play Lee was on January 24th, about a month later, and Powell County wins by 20, 65-45, but it was fairly close early. And then the other night they played Lee County, final score 41-34. We're trending in the wrong direction for the Lady Pirates. I'm using Lee County as an example, but if you go back and look at the schedule, the way it's gone, they played really good between December 27th, and I would even go as far to say all the way up and through. Even the Owsley County game for a while was pretty close. The first one was a lot better. The second wasn't as good as the first contest with Owsley. Just like the West Carter contest. The first time they played West Carter was by 10. This time struggled to win by
7.
Seven.
Yeah.
And I just don't like the trend that the Lady Pirates kind of find themselves on, but they've done this a couple times this year. They played pretty good, then they get on a bad run, then they played decent for a while, and then back to another bad run. Let's hope they're on that bad run now and pick it up next week, or this weekend and next week. It's going to be very difficult Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. They
go to Knott County.
Correct, yes.
Girls go to Knott, boys host Knott. So
yes,
that's going to be a tough contest for the girls on Saturday. And then going into next week, they got to right the ship at some point. Only a couple weeks left in the season. Got to get the ship righted before we get to tournament time. To me, the last decent game they played was against Estill over there where they had another comeback, right?
Yeah.
And was able
were they
to
down
make
16
it
maybe
yeah,
in that one?
Yeah.
Enough.
It was almost a shutout going yeah. for a while for Estill. But those kind of things just – this team is showing us that they just can't afford those early letdowns to get – because they're having to fight and scrape too hard to come back. And by that time, their legs are kind of gone. But last night we watched them struggle the first quarter, play a pretty good second quarter, but they – seemed like they lost their legs a little bit there in the second half. That can't happen in the next couple of weeks. So let's hope this team gets righted a little bit. And right now, I'll have to say Estill's your favorite in the contest because district tournament right now is already set. Like you just said, it'll be Owsley the one seed. They beat Estill last night and beat them by double digits. So Owsley is the prohibitive favorite to win it all.
Yes.
And then they'll play Lee, which I don't think that'll be any problem at all for Owsley. And then the Powell-Estill matchup is a good matchup. Now, a lot of people are going to look at it this way. Estill hosts the girls' region. Well, a lot of people are going to say, well, Estill will probably get the win because they're hosting. That doesn't matter because the district's played here. I would say right now, is Estill the better team of the two? Probably. But
they won twice.
They've beat us twice. Powell County has to show me that we're better than they are or come out with some kind of a victory here. I'm not saying they can't do it. I think they can. But they got to play better than they've been playing.
Especially starting off the game. So yes. As an example.
Cannot do that again.
Yeah, so when you look back at the Hazard game, they were shooting the ball too hard. Then last night against Wes Carter, too soft. They've not quite found that middle ground in these games. So therefore, when you, again, like even last night, They had opportunity after opportunity to probably take an 8 to 10 point lead in the first quarter. Missed layups.
Foul shots.
Right. And at that point, you can't do that against an Estill or an Owsley going forward. You can't afford to do that, to dig yourself into that hole. So they have to find a way to create those turnovers, as they've done, but you have to convert. Correct, but you have to convert. Yeah. It's one thing to get a turnover. Yeah, time's ticking away. But if you're not converting, it's a moot point, because then ultimately the other team is coming down and they're scoring, and now you just missed your opportunity.
And that's called trading possessions. And if you can't just trade possessions when you're down,
right?
You have to make hay when you get turnovers. You're stopping them, so now you got to score. We have to have possessions where we're winning the majority of the possessions. And what I'm saying that is, if we come down and shoot two questionable shots, and it's two rebounds for the opponent, that's four possessions. Two we gave up, two they can have to score.
Yeah.
So you can't start trading zeros for points. Doing that, it makes it a really long game. And we have seen that from the girls' team I don't know how many times. And then they will make a run to make it close, and then all of a sudden it just falls apart again. But there's one thing you can stop, is stop getting those early leads up to the opponents, and maybe get some better shots than what you're getting up. More quality. Of course, I say that, and we missed layups last night. So
too many.
Yeah,
far too many.
Yeah. So I don't know. You got to do something maybe different. Whatever the case may be, you just can't afford to give up those big leads early. And we've been giving up 8, 10, 12, 14 point leads to our opponents. Scrape them back to win two or four, even tie it up or take the lead.
Yeah.
And then wind up losing it back. So if you're going to fight that hard, let's fight from minute one.
Now, with that being said, Ella Napier, I felt like, probably played one of her better games last night, both offensively and defensively. She ended up with 6 points last night, struggled at the free throw line, 0 for 2, but at the same time, got quite a few rebounds. She missed a couple of shots down under, but still, 6 points, well above her average
at
this point.
Doesn't get a lot of opportunities.
Correct, doesn't, but they've kind of fed her the ball a little bit more. Even Jess Lee Centers, she didn't have any points last night. However, with that being said, she really did a nice job. She was driving from the free throw line, attacking, doing little things like that. She was rebounding. She was very active on the boards. Didn't quite have the offense, but her game has definitely improved. And I feel like maybe even the confidence with Ella and Jess Lee. Then when you look at Emily Reed, she's kind of stepping up. She had 7 points last night. Seven in some respects.
But I think those three are playing better.
Yes.
Off the bench, I think, you know, Zaley and Amelia are coming off the bench now, and I think those guys are giving good minutes. We've seen kind of I'm not going to say a downturn with Trinity, but she's not scored as many as of late, and Makaira really hasn't been on as of late. She's scoring her points, but it's a lot more opportunities.
She's not shooting at a high percentage.
No.
Because she's missing. She'll get steals, go down, maybe miss a layup, and or will get fouled, but there's not really enough contact where she shouldn't have made it. Correct.
Right.
Should have made the shot for the and one. And so at times it's too strong going off the backboard, completely misses. Last night, leaving it short, hitting the side of the rim, you know. So, again, it's different things. They've got to work those things out.
I think one of her issues is she's always expecting contact versus when she had her head up the one time and looking at the target, made the layup easy. The other time, she really didn't have the same look on the target that she did that last time she made the layup. I think she plays to contact, and that's really – you still got to have your eyes up on the target. That's the main thing is eye on the prize, keep your eye on the Whittaker Bank target. She had it on there last night when she looked really smooth on one. So she just got to kind of get out of her little – I'm going to say second part of this, the third part. Well, we're at the last third of the season, but maybe she's a little tired, a little rusty, just maybe needs a mental break. And I think Rob gave them off today. Maybe they need a mental break. And, you know,
that's probably a good call in many respects.
Probably.
Yeah, I think so, because the last couple of games, they do seem a little bit more fatigued. And obviously, it's a long season. right?
Yeah.
It's a grind.
Game,
I mean, not only
after
practices,
game after game wears you down.
Correct.
Slowly.
Yes. And I think at that point, maybe that's part of it. Physically, they're, you know, wearing their bodies down. They're not necessarily as mentally sharp as they were at times.
Well, I think that's, but the mental part to me is probably the key. You can get tired physically and fight through it. But when you get tired mentally, that's hard to fight through.
Right.
So I think they probably needed more of a mental break than a physical break. You keep on working physically if you can. But the mental break, I think this group probably needed some kind of a mental break, probably needed some time away from each other. And I'm talking
sure.
about coaches and players alike. Just
right.
Give me a break.
A little quick reset.
Yeah. Just one day away from basketball, right. We'll come back and restart. So, but like you said, some of these girls are trending the right way, playing better. I think Ella is one of those kids that the more experience she gets, the more opportunities she gets, the better she gets. Because, you know, like I said, she's really good at softball, but she still doubts herself often. It's her biggest weakness is her self-doubt. And it shows more in a sport where she doesn't have as much confidence as the other, and it shows. And I'm sure, you know, they have to deal with her a little bit differently, because I know exactly how she is. She's one of those kids, if you fuss at her, I'm not sure you're gonna get the best Ella. But it's hard to do that as a coach sometimes. You do what you got to do. But man, I think they got some great kids on that basketball team.
Oh sure, absolutely.
And I'm not knocking any of them, but. You know, sometimes some of these kids can take a lot. Some can take a little. It's difficult.
There's a fine line in coaching, especially
fine.
With girls.
Well,
here's my point in saying that is that they're a little bit more emotional, and therefore, because of that emotional state, that's just how women are wired in many respects. I think that they're a little bit more sensitive, and therefore, if you're a critique of them, they almost take it too personal as opposed to being constructive criticism, and I'm trying to improve you. They take it to heart, whereas a guy, you can tell them, they're just like, yeah, okay, and they kind of roll on.
I would have agreed with that before I started coaching girls. Since I've been coaching girls now for over almost 25 years now, maybe more, I don't really see it as like you're saying, because most of these girls, you could get on them pretty hard, and it's not a big deal. I see now some of the guys, if you get on like that, they're in a corner. I don't think there's much difference between the guys and the girls on how you treat them. I do think that most kids, period, the old school way of yelling, screaming, fussing, that doesn't work for 98% of them.
Not now.
Not
sure. Yeah, it's right.
I'm not sure it worked 40 years ago.
No,
said it did, but I'm not real sure it did.
Well, maybe the loudness made you pay a little bit more attention.
Maybe.
Not so much that you took it to heart or what they were saying. You know, at that point, it kind of became womp, 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 you know.
I'll mention his name, Dave Fraley, when he came back here to coach. And there are people that love Dave and people that didn't like Dave. I've known Dave for a long time, and man, did he change his style. Completely different coach from the 60s and 70s to the 2000s. Completely different coach from 2000 and the teens through early 2000s. He changed with the time. He went with where the group had changed. And one of the times I talked to him, I said, you did do this back in 1970, whatever. And he said, no, but you know, a lot of times I look back on the way I treated those kids, that was wrong. And to me, I think, the realization that, look, this was wrong the way I did it. We got to do it more this way.
Right.
I think he understands that way just probably wasn't as effective as he thought it was. Because, you know, we're going to recognize the 74 team here in next week or so, one of the games. So those who are left. And you could probably poll those kids. Love Dave or hate Dave. And you're probably going to get an even balance. Of the players,
sure.
It was, you know, I think coaches that back then coached out of fear and wanted respect, and, you know, parents would say, yeah, that's what I want for you. That's go to the drill sergeant kind of person.
I was almost going to say, it was almost militaristic.
Yeah, and now
that drill sergeant's a good analogy, good comparison, yeah, as far as that style.
It's more now kind of put an arm around and give him a hug every now and then and give him positive
more
feedback.
More encouraging. More,
yes,
yeah.
And I think it's, I guarantee if you encourage that, the boys back then, they'll still run through that wall and still won a regional championship.
Right.
But again, I do think that a lot of folks, people have the thought about the girls, it's the more emotional, they don't handle it well.
I think females are more people pleasers in the sense that, you know, they want to perform well, they want to do well, and therefore, if you point out something, and obviously tact is a part of that, you know, if you approach them correctly, but sometimes you can, and therefore it's like, oh, they don't know how to process that criticism. To whereas I think boys, they're almost just not so much used to being yelled at by any means, but at the same time, it's just like they process it differently, and therefore they're not people pleasers; they're me people.
I know what you're saying. I will say this: I was when I got out coaching boys, and there were some boys I really loved coaching. So don't get me wrong, but I thoroughly enjoy coaching the girls. They're so much easier to talk to. Most of them will fight for you, you know. The guys, like you said, they're a little, I don't know. There's some guys sometimes you just, it's harder to like some of them. I mean, they get such an attitude and they know everything and they know more than you. And that's one of the things that I got away from when I started coaching girls is they wanted to learn. They wanted you to teach them. And now it's kind of like, I'm not sure it's flipped, but you're getting as much back from the girls as you used to get from the guys. And it's difficult to coach today, but as long as you just love and care about the kids and want the best for them, I don't think you can ever go wrong as a coach. But it has to be them first.
True.
You know what
well,
I mean?
Even, so, even as far as, you know, boys, there are still professional coaches who are dealing with grown men, and you still have to be coachable, mm-hmm. regardless of age or professional, you know, high school, collegiate level. You still have to, again, be able to listen and process what they're asking you to do.
Can you imagine as a Major League Baseball manager and an NFL coach or an NBA coach, you're trying to tell Michael Jordan what to do? You're trying to tell Kobe Bryant what to do? Trying to tell LeBron what to do? I mean, I get it. You're the boss, but
well, look at Phil seriously? Jackson, though. He found a way and they listened.
But did you watch Phil? And people will say, if you're not up out of your seat coaching, you're not coaching. Phil Jackson didn't get out of his seat very often.
Oh, no. No, he...
He let his guys handle it. They knew their jobs. They were professional enough to go do what they
were
supposed
to do. Well, they knew what he expected out of them, what they were to run or defensive, whatever it may have been, and here's our plan, and go execute it.
If you're prepared, you probably don't have to get up and coach as much.
Correct. And obviously, going back to practices, it's up to the players to implement and to better themselves, and then collectively when you're out on the floor, guess what? If you're all giving 100%, you're all going after the balls
that's
or whatever it might be.
That's when it gets easy.
You're exactly right. But that's where that unselfishness comes in, and we're going to distribute the ball, and we're going to get everybody involved, and we're going to dive, and we're going to hustle and save and block out and rebounds, putbacks, and, I mean, again, the collective. And at that point, you take the pressure off the coach, and then you take the pressure off of yourselves, because now you've got everybody involved.
Well, like I said, I'm always the coach. I'll take all the blame. You take the good stuff, and I'll take the blame, and we'll all try to have a good night. Because putting pressure and depending on a 15, 16-year-old kid to win a game, that's the hard part.
Sure, as a coach, no matter what level, if I have a plan and you execute the plan, just like Ken Jones – He scouted better than anybody. If you listen to what I'm telling you, we can beat this team. But then when
but
you veer
to
from
buy
that,
into that,
correct. And
the
when you veer
in,
when you veer awful from that plan, then all of a sudden now you get in trouble, and now he's having to readjust because you're not listening. And unfortunately, there's far too many kids, regardless of age, that
do their thing.
Well, even adults thing. For that matter, that people don't listen and implement those.
Sometimes we're in our own little world and think we know best, regardless, and maybe we don't.
Oh, even at times, including ourselves.
Well, that's exactly right.
I mean, you know, I'm first to point the finger at myself. And
we're going to take a break and come back. We'll talk more about the district tournament, how they will all line up in the upcoming games a little bit later. But first of all, let's take care of our sponsors. Back in a moment here on PCSN Live.
Aerotech Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across central and eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
And welcome back here to the PCSN Live. We do want to kind of reconfigure since I got off of one of my little jaunts.
We let you know that up front when the show started.
Anyway, here is Ken with the upcoming schedule for the girls, and then we'll talk a little bit about the tournament and then take another break.
So then on February the 10th, the Lady Pirates will travel to Knott County Central. That is Saturday, 3:30 start. And then on February the 12th, they will travel to Wolf County, 7:30 start. On the 17th, they'll be at home for their final home game of the regular season. They'll play Buckhorn on the 17th. That's a 3:30 game. Again, that's not this upcoming Saturday, the following Saturday. And then on the 20th, they will be at Menifee County. So 4 more regular season games left for the Lady Pirates before the district tournament. The district tournament dates, anyway. Monday, February the 26th, the girls' semifinals at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock game. I'm not sure the Lady Pirates more than likely will play the 8 o'clock game, against Estill.
I think so.
The 1-4 that's first.
Normally 1-4 and then 2-3 is usually the schedule.
And then the girls' championship. So that's Monday, February 26th, and that's here at Powell County. And then on Wednesday, February the 28th, the girls' championship at 7 o'clock.
So, again, that is all right here at the Powell County High School coming up in about Well, two weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks this week. So next week will be the last week.
Actually, here. I guess 3 weeks.
Three weeks.
Yeah, because there's a not really a week off, but yet at that point, from where we are
after
today.
After the 17th, the gym will be shut down here at the high school for about 5 days.
Can I boo on air?
Yeah, you can if you
want. Okay, boo.
But that's to get it all prepped and ready to go for the district tournament.
It's not good time.
And region, no, because it's going to shift your practices to a smaller gym.
Yeah.
Where you don't, I mean, by this time, you should understand how to play.
A gym is a gym, but at the same time, it'd be nice to be on your home floor
hosting. Your
markings are
a little different. You know what I'm saying?
They are. You're right. You know, it's going to be a little bit different.
Your
shooting's
a little bit different. Rims are different. So it's not home practice, but it's.
Again, they got to do what they feel like that they need to do, and obviously fixing the gym floor as far as getting it ready for district and regional tournament.
Getting it cleaned up, getting everybody out there, getting the bleachers pulled out, getting everything set up. So again, after the 17th games, it'll be shut down after that. So I got that from Doug last night too, Doug Brewer. So
he does a nice job. He really does. Doug does a really good job as being the athletic director.
Well, he has. So many titles he has to do.
I don't see
probably
how he
too many
up.
To do for any one human, but does the best he can do with all those positions. Anyway, that being said, the upcoming games with the Lady Pirates, only the four as of right now. They could always add a game, I guess, but I don't think that'll happen. Add to the schedule, so they'll have four more times. You can go support the Lady Pirates here in 24 before the tournament starts. So please get out and do so here this week and next week. And I think one game the following week before the tournament starts. So go support your Pac-Man Lady Pirates. We're going to take a break here on PCSN Live. Be back with boys basketball talk after the break.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton. Proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Hey, I'm Wyatt Denniston, the new owner of Stanton Ace Hardware. At Ace, we are known for being the helpful place, and we pride ourselves in accomplishing that goal each day with each customer. We're focused on bringing a new selection of great products with you in mind, including quality knives like case knives, built with integrity for people of integrity. Steel chainsaws, trimmers, and lawnmowers. That's right, I said lawnmowers. And simply the best, Skag Power equipment. Shop local, save money, and get quality products from people who love this community. We are Stanton Ace Hardware, supporting the broadcast of our Powell County Pirates.
Kind of confused me on that last commercial. Yeah, we got our intro at before the last commercial. So, again, thanks to Ace for coming aboard.
Yeah.
So it shows you guys it's not too late to join up here with the advertising. So, again, if you want to... be a sponsor for the rest of this year. We can always lock you in through next year.
Through December.
Through December to
as
December.
As far as being on a calendar year.
And I believe there's a discussion here at the station that I think that's going to be maybe a plan going forward to start to do. Because there's a lot of businesses who do their business December or January through December.
Right.
So.
For a calendar year. Yeah.
And there's some businesses that don't, but. Not everybody's on the school calendar like we are.
Yeah. So, again, if you're still interested in advertising, still plenty of games. We do not only the rest of basketball, but then going into girls softball, boys baseball.
And then the fall sports will come in right away and get the whole loop again. So, again, just come out and join, and we'd be glad to have you. Just contact them here at the station. And I'm not sure who. You can contact me or Ken or Ethan. Caitlin, maybe. Taking some of the business, I think, for that. So, again, just contact the station during business hours, and somebody here will –
you'll get your money's
send
worth,
you
I promise.
In the right direction. So
and now, at the same time, for our listeners, make sure you let the businesses know who do advertise that you appreciate them sponsoring this. That way you can listen, watch it on NFHS, watch it on Facebook Live when we're able to do that. Again, let them know that you appreciate them sponsoring it. That way you as a fan, then, you're able to listen.
We know that they know that they're being appreciated, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, boys basketball, we'll kind of do a little redo. They were in action last night at Menifee County. We didn't get to see the game, obviously, on the road, but a decent outcome, I think, for the boys.
Yeah, and actually, let's go back to the Estill game just real quick.
Go ahead.
So that was on January the 26th. It was at Estill County. The Pirates ended up winning by 13, 68 to 55. And then followed that up on the 30th against Lee County. They won 72-51. With that being said, the Pirates secured the number one seed. After having beat Estill County, they basically did that, but then obviously they needed to beat Lee County in order to really
solidify.
Exactly, yeah. So at that point, again, the Pirates will be the number one seed in the boys' tournament, and we'll get to that. But still, big win at Estill, a nice win on the road at Lee County. Again, we had that game for you. And then the Pirates on February the 1st went to overtime against Breathitt County here at home. The Pirates lost in overtime 80-77, up 12 points, about 221, 230 to go.
Just over two, yeah.
On the clock, and unfortunately let that one slip away. Hard lesson to learn, right? Took some ill-advised shots, didn't necessarily run clock like they probably should have. Missed some free throws. They came back and hit some big-time shots.
Six shots in the last 2.5 minutes in overtime for Breathitt County.
Correct. You know, and the irony is that a freshman, one of them, who hit four three-pointers, three in overtime, and actually hit the game winner, uh-huh, to give them that. And then Joseph Honeycutt, who came in off the bench in the fourth quarter, hit two big three-pointers as well. One of those was a big dagger in many respects.
One of those,
so,
I think, took the lead for Breathitt County, I believe, one point, right?
So,
they got really good production from their bench. That's what you're looking for. But you don't expect the bench guy to come in and hit four as a freshman when he's only averaging, 2.5 points per game, and only shooting at a 26% mark on three-pointers on the season. So you wouldn't expect him to hit all those three. Now, Honeycutt shooting over 50% on the season. So, but the freshman, I mean, you know, it is what it is. He just buried some shots, got some confidence going, and when you feel it, you feel it, and just give him the ball. That's exactly what Austin Sperry did. He went to the hot hand.
Yeah, who's the leader, basically the floor general in some respects on that team. The fact that he dished off to the freshman for that game-winning shot, basically, I mean, unbelievable in many respects, or to tie it up, basically, because that was to tie it up, send it to overtime. But the fact that, because I thought, well, of course Austin Sperry's going to take the shot. Why wouldn't he take the shot? He's your man, you know. And at that point, no, he didn't. Throws it down to the freshman, hits a wide open three and makes it, and we go to overtime. And again, kudos to them.
Made that way, he won the game, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Unfortunately for the Pirates, again, they have to find a way when you're up like that in order to, you know, be able to come back. But
as you said,
well, then we'll kind of get to the next game.
Well, hang on real quick.
Okay, sure.
There's one thing. I got a message from Austin Sperry's grandfather the next day or so, and would like to just, you know, thank him for the message. And he did remind me that he had not committed to Eastern Kentucky University, which I had thought that happened maybe last year, but I was mistaken on that announcement. And there are now several schools in the state that are interested. So he is out there available. So I want to make sure I cleared that up for at least those who are listening tonight, that he is not. He's still looking. So, again, he's going to be a good prospect somewhere.
Yeah, and he's just a junior.
Yeah.
He finished with 21 points for Breathitt County. Then the Pirates followed that up, so that was on Thursday night, overtime game. And then on Saturday, they go to the Bobby Bowling Classic at Owsley County, face off against Hazard. So back-to-back tough matchup for the Pirates. Again, unfortunately, they lost the Breathitt County game, so the momentum that they actually had going into that game, because at that point they had won four in a row, had the Pirates, going into the Breathitt County game. So then you drop that one. A game you more than likely should have won. They go to Hazard. Hazard was just a notch above the Pirates. At the same time, Powell County just didn't quite have the game that they had against Breathitt. Now, do you give Hazard credit? Do you give the fact that, you know, Powell was maybe fatigued? It was an afternoon game.
Yeah,
you know, some things weren't necessarily happening for them. But regardless, Hazard just proved that why they're 21-2 at that point on the season.
Yeah, they've lost two games, and one of those was to Breathitt. That was in the All-A tournament. Breathitt went on to win the All-A 14th region, went to state. And we're not talking about teams that aren't very good. We're talking about top caliber teams in the 14th. And of those have knocked each other off here in the last couple of weeks. So That being said, when Breathitt County came in, I was expecting probably a 15, 20 point loss. We didn't get that. Even going to overtime and losing to Breathitt, I'm not saying it's a win because it was a loss, especially the way the game went. But they had to play pretty good to get there. The Hazard game, that team was a notch above.
76-49 was
the
final.
That team was pretty good. We didn't have answers for the size. We didn't have answers for the strength. We did not have answers for their defense. Their defense was really good.
Yeah.
It's the best defensive team I think I've seen this year.
Agreed. And then offensively, they had enough weapons.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, to me, they didn't shut down a couple players. They shut them down for a while. We finally got a few buckets from some of our kids, but they kind of showed you how to win a basketball game and to do it the right way. And Al Holland's been coaching for years, probably one of the winningest coaches in the state of Kentucky. Of course, he's been around a long time, but he's got a really nice program there at Hazard this year. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for somebody to knock that team off. But we know Breathitt County, here's what you can go do this. Breathitt County can knock off Hazard. Powell County almost beat Breathitt. So could Powell County possibly win a 14th region? You never know.
Not in high school sports, do you?
No, it's so unpredictable. And, you know, I have heard people say all season, this team has got a chance. Yeah, they got a chance, but they got to play a lot better than they've been playing. They make better decisions than they were making. And if that happens and then the draw turns out the right way and you play well, listen, if you get to the championship game, anything can happen. Just get to the tournament. And
yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, it's just the basketball tournaments are so, I don't know.
Unpredictable,
yes,
kind
I mean,
of, right?
Boys usually are. The girls yeah. are pretty, girls are pretty much.
You kind of know who the elites.
You could kind of call
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You know, boys, it's, I tell you, sometimes you get a, I don't know, so you get a dud out of a
well,
team
I mean,
that
off,
you expect to play
an
well.
An off night, right?
What do you think about Hazard, though? Hazard, no seniors on that team?
Right, yeah.
Dude, they're going to be good for the. They were already good, but they're going to be really good, I guess, if you get really good after.
Could almost even say that as a game that we covered, Bell County. Bell County,
yeah.
Mostly one, no seniors, one junior, and mostly two sophomores, and mm-hmm. mostly freshmen and eighth graders, and Bell County is sitting there like 15-3 or
yeah,
something
three or
like. Yeah, but Bell County is a team I'm going to be paying attention to going forward, knowing how young they are.
But I tell you what's impressed me about Bell County, which is the first game we covered in the Classic,
yeah.
was their coach didn't say a lot.
He was kind of on the bench most of the time, sitting down.
Because his kids do exactly what they were supposed to do,
yeah.
when they were supposed to do it. I'm not robotic. They practice that way so they can come out and perform that way at game time.
Right.
If your practices are good enough and organized enough, really, you can sit there and let the kids play because they know exactly what to do because they're
right.
That's all they've been doing for the last 3 months. You know, by this point in time, your kids should be knowing what to do in most situations because they should be ready by
right.
now.
True. Agreed.
So,
no matter what they're facing, whether it's full
matter.
Court pressure,
mm-mm.
2-3 zone, 1-3-1.
By this amount of time now, you've had every scenario that you could possibly have it that's already happened. You've already went over it in practice. You've already prepared for it. There shouldn't be too much new that happens after this.
Right.
I mean, it's proof's in the pudding. What is it? They said the cattle are still in the – well, what is it? No, that's not right. Not the right analogy here.
Well, anyway. Well, then, here, I'll bail you out. Let's move on. Well, anyway, unfortunately, the Pirates, again, dropped those last two to Breathitt and Hazard. Again, two of the top teams in the region. But then they got a nice win last night, did Powell County, against Menifee County on the road, no less, 51-42.
Always a tough win.
Always a tough win. And I caught Coach Alan Martin getting off the bus last night after the girls' game as I was leaving, as they were rolling in. And at that point, he said, basically for about the last 4 minutes, they were playing kind of keep away. You know, they were letting the clock run down, and he was running what they needed to run in case they were in that situation again. So that was good to know, though, that they spent that much time playing keep away, for lack of a better way of putting it, you
fans,
know, letting the clock run down.
Fans may hate it. Kids may hate it. But you get a W. Yeah. If you hated it, if you'd have hated it a week ago, you would have been talking about the overtime loss to Breathitt County. You're talking about the great win against Breathitt County.
Correct. Yes.
So lesson received. At least
they learned. Yeah, and obviously they listened.
Now he's making sure the team understands, and they should have been there already. But now we're at least they've practiced another game, and now
right.
Let's hope that they're there. That and you again, it doesn't matter who the team is you work on it with. It just matters that you work on it. So glad they got that done. It's a good win at Menifee. It's always, like I said, a very tough place to go play and win. And so kudos to the boys for getting that win last night.
Now they're going to have a tough outing coming up on Friday.
Yeah,
they'll face off against Wolf County. It's a home game. They ended up dropping that game back on December 22nd, 77-69.
I do think that's a game Powell County could win or can win if they play well.
I would agree with that. But so then that's Friday, 7:30. We'll have that game for you. And then on Saturday, they'll face off against Knott County Central. So, again, it's not going to get any easier.
No, but here's the thing. If you've played Breathitt well, you didn't play Hazard so well, but if you play Breathitt well, you can compete with Knott. I think Hazard is in that next level, I think. Knott's in the mix, but I don't think they're at the Hazard level. And saying that, if Palkany plays well, they can play with Knott.
Well, and they did lose to Knott earlier. They lost by 16, 68-52. That was earlier.
We'll see if we've improved or not then.
That's exactly right. Yeah, in both outings, right?
Right.
Because you've lost both of them to Wolf County and Knott County. Let's see what kind of progress that you've made here and hopefully pick up a couple of wins. The Pirates at 10-11 on the season overall. So, again, that's the game Friday, Wolf County, Saturday, Knott County. And then we go back to next week. It'll be Buckhorn on Monday at home, Bourbon County on Tuesday at home, Bluegrass United on Thursday at home, and then Model on Saturday at home. And then the Pirates will have... it shows Buckhorn again on February the 20th, but I can't imagine both of those being home. No, I'm sorry, on the 20th, it's at Buckhorn, bad. And then they'll be at Morgan County on the 22nd to finish out.
And that's how they started the season was with Morgan County, and Morgan County is a really nice team too. So the boys have got a stretch here where you and I have talked about this off the air in conversation, what they could be. Best case scenario, I think, for the Pirates this stretch is what we say. They got seven games left, right? If they could go 5-2, then the team is, I think, it's ready to play in district tournament. They 4-3,
eight games.
So okay, five and three, I think, was one of the numbers we had. I don't think it's very likely that we go 6-2. Could go 5-3. Definitely should be able to go 4-4. I don't think there's any scenario where you shouldn't be able to go 4-4 in the next stretch. But I think if you get better than that, this team could go into the tournament above 500 with a little pride, hopefully pick up a win against, they'll play Owsley County in the district tournament. We'll talk about that in a minute. But my phone's blowing up for some reason. Anyway, it's going to be a good stretch here for the boys. They can really get themselves geared up to play. Hopefully they can play that 8-game stretch with, you know, everybody's healthy when they come out of that 8 games, and we're going forward. And again, they'll get a couple games to play versus practice, which I think for this team is just as good. I really do. Just get there and play as best you can and play decent competition, because that's what you're going to get when you play in the tournament.
Well, in some respects, and we've talked about this throughout the season, when they play team ball, take smart shots, pass the ball off when you don't have a good shot, play strong defense, rebound, get the ball out quick, right? When they play like that, they are capable of beating anybody. It's when they don't do those things, and all of a sudden things start to fall apart, and then you realize, like, oh, so to me, which Powell County team's going to show up?
Mm-hmm.
The one that's capable of winning it all, or the one who decides, I'm not going to play team ball like I was before, and now I'm going to get a little bit selfish, and I'm not going to necessarily hustle or rebound or whatever, take ill-advised shots. And then at that point, now you get down, and now it's hard to dig back out.
And I will say this. Sometimes, too, we call selfish as a kid maybe wanting to win. And it can look.
Sure,
it,
there's a
it
fine
can look,
line.
It can look the
absolutely.
Same.
Listen, so, I love the competitiveness.
No, I do too. And I want the kid that wants to take the shot.
100%.
But I also want the kid to take a good shot and a high percentage shot. Now, I'm not saying a three can't be a high percentage shot. The right three can be a high percentage shot. Not that you're going to make it every time, but it's a higher percentage shot. But the right shot for me is if this team has got to keep pounding it inside. Go inside out on your threes.
And we've talked about that as well.
Yes, we have. We've got to stay away from the turnovers and be able to handle some pressure. That's what this team's going to have to do going forward if they want to win the district and have a chance at the region. If they can't do those things, they may not get out of the district because, you know, Alistair County's they're not going to come here and lay down. And
if you go back and look at the games that they have won and the success that they've had.
Team ball.
Exactly. When they've lost, not so much. Again, it's one thing if I'm taking – you have to be aware of situational basketball. So, therefore, do I need a three or do I even need to shoot? Maybe I'm playing against the clock, right? Maybe, again, mm-hmm. I need to just rotate the ball around and let them foul us. We need to make our free throws. You know, that's kind of been a downside for the Pirates at times. Again, yeah, you've got to keep practicing and make those free throws.
When you take breath account, they didn't have to foul us. They didn't have to put us on the line because we gave it right back to them. So those are the things you got to learn, but you do have to knock down the free throws.
So even going back to the Breathitt game, Breathitt, 4 of 5 free throws. They only shot 5. Powell County, 35 free throw attempts, only made 24. So again, you make a couple more free throws, especially out of 35. 24 out of 35 is not good enough. That's 11 points off the board.
But it's 67%.
This team has to get above that 70% mark. Because, again, you go back and you make one or two more free throws, you win that game.
Well, no,
Despite the fact that you were up 12 and they come back.
I totally get that. But we won around a 67% number. That's where we want to be, 67 to 70. But to me, if you out shoot a free throws 35 to 5, if I'm not in Powell County and I'm saying, wow, what happened in that game? And I'll basically tell you what happened. We drove the basketball for most of the game. And Breathitt County played outside. That's really what happened. And I think Powell County played better defense. You got to stop the driver. Sperry's a good driver, but he got some kickouts late, and they did damage. But that being said, it was actually, I thought it was a well-called game. And look at the, I didn't realize the numbers until the end of the game. When you mentioned them,
yeah.
I'm thinking, wow, really? I didn't realize the numbers were that far apart. And
it was a well-officiated game.
I thought it was.
Yeah, agreed.
Maybe I'm biased and looking at it differently. I'd like to go back and maybe watch and see what I maybe didn't see. But
that's where it goes back to as an individual player, though. What can I do in order to be more successful at the free throw line?
Yeah.
And regardless, I get if you're shooting 80%, I mean, that's a great percentage. But at the same time, what am I not doing potentially on a first shot or second shot? Again, that consistency.
I'll also tell you this. If we played them again, I guarantee we don't shoot 35 free throws.
Oh, facts.
Of course.
I totally agree.
So,
you're exactly right.
What's that way
well, here, let's do this.
Okay,
let me tell about the district tournament for the boys then. So on Tuesday, February the 27th, again, the boys semifinals, 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, hosted by Powell County. The Powell County Pirates will face off against Lee County in game number 1. Is that right? Yes, Lee
Powell,
County.
Powell plays Owsley. Oh,
Powell does play Owsley, correct.
Game
and
one.
Then Estill versus Lee. And again, that's the boys' February the 27th district tournament here at Powell. And then the boys' championship Thursday, February the 29th at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, so again, girls only Monday, boys only Tuesday. Championships the following respective nights, Wednesday, Thursday. We'll talk more about this. We do have more time left, so I thought it was closer to the end, but we still got 7 minutes.
We're close enough. We're just not going to go over.
Be back in a moment here on PCSN.
You deserve a bank that truly values you. At People's Exchange Bank, they pride themselves on providing personalized service that other banks just can't match. Whether you're needing a checking account, a home loan, or financial advice, our team of local professionals have you covered. Visit 53 East Pendleton Street in Stanton or visit them online at pebank.com. Join their family of satisfied customers today and experience the hometown difference at People's Exchange Bank, where banking is about you. People's Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Allen Ace Hardware is a hidden gem in Clay City and known for their dependable down-home service. Visit Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road and you'll find Valspar Paints, Echo Power Tools, Electrical Supplies, Septic System Accessories, Key Cutting Services, and even U-Haul Rentals. That's Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road in Clay City. To find out more, call 606-663-1122. That's 606-663-1122.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live. Since we have a little time left, we do have time to talk about some really good stuff coming out of Powell County. First of all, we've had a couple of signings. We'll kind of review most of the signings that we at least know about. If we don't mention you, then let us know what we missed. We've got the first one was Micaiah Cottle signed earlier. That was at Kentucky Christian. We've got now that Tyson Edwards has now signed with Union College for football. We've got, I think, Jack Rose has now signed or is signing with Campbellsville University at Harrodsburg. And at least now drawing some interest from some schools. Braden Brandenburg got an offer, I think. So, again, not official, nothing official there. And baseball-wise, we'll get to that when it comes to more baseball, softball season. I think we have a couple signings for baseball as well. And that's all good news. Again, when you can get these kids to go to the next level, regardless of what you're doing, then that's good news.
Absolutely. Well, again, their hard work is paying off, right? Not only athletically, but obviously academically, they've maintained that high academic standard.
Let's hope so. Yeah, I think they all have. They're really good.
I would say you'd almost have to in order to be accepted, right? They're not going to sit there and think that you're a C student and all of a sudden offer you a scholarship to play ball if you can't cut it in the classroom.
Unless you're really, really good, then they might.
maybe they do have such things as called tutors.
Yeah, but most of these schools we're talking about, it's pretty much academics first. And I think that they can mostly give academic money, and regardless of how they're getting the money, as long as they're getting some athletic help for these institutions, that's a great way to get a good start and get you successful in college and getting you to fit right in. So again, congratulations to those guys. Also, Jay Lee Hearn, which a lot of people don't know about this, is a swimmer here in Powell County. That's and she has now qualified, I think, for the first set of the state competition. And I believe that's going on maybe next week. She's a seventh grader at middle school, swims, I believe, works with a group out of Montgomery County, I believe.
Correct. Right? She works with a group. However, she is the Powell County. Right, exactly. Right. She is a Powell County High School student athlete.
Right.
Even though she is coached by the Montgomery County.
And is still in middle school here. So,
yeah.
And from what I understand, she is a phenomenal swimmer and will maybe even in more events than just one. So, again, I was going to try to get them on tonight and ran out of time today to try to get old Hondo to bring her in. So congratulations and good luck to Jaylee.
Yeah.
So if you know Hondo and Jaylee, then let them know. Congratulations. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And I will say this too real quick. Powell County has a high school bowling team that's just kind of gotten off the ground.
And they are going to the state tournament, I believe.
Yeah, right? So that's exciting. Again, another little athletic team there, bowling. And then obviously our bass team, as we've talked about, you know, they're consistently in competitions. I'm sure they're playing as well. And then cross country, probably not cross yet, country. No. Not now.
You're ready for
I do.
Well, February the 12th is now your opening day for it'll be track.
Track. There you go.
Your track and field starts February 12th, along with softball. Baseball will start next week. Next Monday will be our tryouts. I know we're having tryouts of softball. I think baseball tryouts are next week. Middle school baseball and softball tryouts are next week. I'm sure they'll have something for track and field here next week or so. So, again, it's getting ready to kick off again for another
right around
season
the corner
of sports here at Powell County.
Again, exciting stuff. It's still basketball, plenty of basketball to go. And,
almost a month.
Yeah, let's hope, wish the Lady Pirates and Pirates good luck again. David and I will be back on the air Friday night, voice hosting Wolf County. Saturday, doubleheader, as the Lady Pirates will be at home and the Pirates will be at home as well.
See you next week here on BCSN Live.
Joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Toyota South, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
Your Stanton Tourism temperature check.